Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come for me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
マタイの福音書3章13節から17節を日本語でお読みします。さてイエスはヨハネからバプテスマを受けるためにガリラヤからヨルダンにお着きになり、ヨハネのところに来られた。しかしヨハネはイエスにそうさせまいとして言った。私こそあなたからバプテスマを受けるはずですのに、あなたが私のところにおいでになるのですか。ところがイエスは答えて言われた。今はそうさせてもらいたい。このようにして全ての正しいことを実行するのは私たちにふさわしいのです。そこでヨハネは承知した。こうしてイエスはバプテスマを受けてすぐに水から上がられた。すると天が開け、神の御霊が鳩のように下って自分の上に来られるのをご覧になった。また天からこう告げる声が聞こえた。これは私の愛する子、私はこれを喜ぶ。
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you. I thought we could start with a little prayer. Sandy, she's been moved to Pepe's house, which is a hospice facility at the TMC, I believe. And I saw her last week. She wasn't doing well. And I think Tom and Julie saw her Friday or something like
yes,
that. Friday. And, you know, she's just, I think she's ready to go. Like last time, you know, it was about last year, 6 months ago, she was at Pepe's house and she bounced back. But I think this time, I think it is time for her to go. She just, her skin color's very yellow and she's just not doing well. So I thought we could pray for her. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much just for your grace to come together. And Father, all these people here were priests before you. You've called us to be royal priesthood. And so we lift up Sandy to you, her family, her daughter, her brother, your daughter's brother. We just pray, Father, that you would watch over Sandy, and if it's time for her to go, Father, we pray for a smooth transition.
Yes.
That you would receive her, Lord, to yourself. Yes. And that in some way, Lord, that her life would be a testimony, a seed that is planted to provide even greater, Lord, fruit, even for her family, Father, that it would spark something in them, that you would release grace, Lord. I do pray, Father, for the staff. I pray for Sandy that you would comfort her during this time of her life. I also want to lift up Todd. Todd's been struggling with his eyesight. And just his, you know, he's going to go get some tests this week, but let's just lift him up in prayer. Father, we just lift up Todd to you.
Yes.
We thank you so much for the mercy and grace that you've given him already, Lord. Just all that you have done for him and his family, the provision, the recovery. But Father, we ask that you won't stop, but that you'll continue, Lord, the healing process. And whatever, if there's anything blocking that process, that you would remove it and that you would even accelerate the healing, Lord, in his eyes, in his brain, in his body, just his motor function, his voice, everything, Father, that you would be continue, Lord, your good works, Lord. The good works you began, Father, the day he got in that tragic accident, we know that you would complete it until the day that, Lord, it is finished. And so, Father, right now we pray that you would just remove any blockages and just continue, Lord, your good works. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to look at John's baptism of Jesus. Well, Jesus' baptism. And what I want to focus on in Jesus' baptism is just this simple thing. If we humbly obey to fulfill righteousness, God will open up the heavens for you. God will open up doors for you. If you humbly obey to fulfill righteousness, God will open up doors for you. And when I say doors, for each and every one of us, these doors are different. You know, they're not always the doors of finances. They're not always the doors of promotion. They're not always those doors. Although those doors are awesome, and I would, you know, God opened those doors for me. But they're not always those doors. It can sometimes be just the door of contentment. Huh? The door of peace. The door of being happy. Shutting the door of depression, shutting the door of just striving, shutting the door of anxiety, shutting these doors. You know, God will open up doors for you. Who needs a door open today? All right, I'm preaching to the right group today. I'm preaching to the right crowd today. Anyway, so Jesus, you know, John's baptism. We talked about that last week. Multitudes came from hundreds of miles away. They would come to this revival meeting. And John was baptizing in the Jordan. And something compelled the people. It wasn't miracles. It wasn't good food. I don't know if they had, you know, Hillsong back then. So it wasn't Hillsong. It wasn't great music. It was something in the air. And dare I say that something in the air was grace. Yeah. There was grace enough for people to have the ability to repent. You know that sometimes we could get stuck in sin? Yeah? You've ever been stuck in sin? Mm-hmm. When you're stuck in sin, you don't want to repent. You just don't want anyone to find out. You just want to get away with it. You feel bad after. But you know, there's no desire to change. You just don't want anyone to find out. But then there's times in our lives where God will give grace. And that grace is not just the ability to repent, but the desire to repent.
Yes.
How many of you know if you didn't have the desire to repent, you'd be terrible people? Yeah, yeah. We'd all be terrible people. It's just the environment we're in. It's just the sin in our lives. It's just who we are. But God is gracious, isn't He? He's awesome. He's loving. And He gives us this supernatural grace, not only for the ability to say, I want to change, I want to come back to you, but the desire, the hunger, the thirst, and say, I want to go to church. Like, you know, or I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. And if there's a lot of grace, it's like, I want to fast, you know. But, you know, that kind of grace is rare in America. But there was grace in the air, and people from hundreds of miles away felt it, and they were compelled to come to this meeting that John was having. And in this meeting, John was simply saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. If you're doing wrong, you need to get right with God, kind of thing. That was his message. You either burn or turn. You know, that kind of message doesn't usually work. But in for his sake, they were like, oh yeah, we want to turn. And it was working. You know, God does things sometimes with other people. You know, He does things sometimes with other people that won't work if you do it, okay? If you see someone do it and it's like working, and then all of a sudden you get on your soapbox and say, I burn our chair, and they'll be like, boo, get out of there. You know, it's like, what happened? Like, John was doing that and it worked, and how come it's not working on me? There's something called God's grace and anointing. And John had God's grace. John had God's anointing, and there was grace in the air. It's not always like that. Even in your own lives, when you had that power and ability to repent from sin, it's not because you're good people. Let me just say, I love you guys. I love all of you guys. I think you guys are good peoples. But the ability to repent from sin is something else. It's something different, you know? And it was in the air. So that was happening. And multitudes of people. And then John's cousin shows up. John's baby cousin. You know who John's baby cousin is? Jesus! What? Yeah. They're cousins? Yeah. And they're like, John's older, you know? And so they grew up together. They were shirt-tail cousins. They were play cousins. They loved to hang out with each other. In fact, they loved hanging out before they were even born. You know, when Mary came up to Elizabeth, John's mother, before they were born, John was like, Jesus! In the womb. He jumped in the womb. It says that in Luke. But they were very close. They loved each other. John, of all people, he might have been the only person who truly knew who Jesus was. And at this point, John is the prophet. He is the prophet certified. He had a little check mark next to his name. He was the prophet. Jesus was nobody at this point. He was a great, great carpenter. They're like, you need a table? Go see Jesus. He'll make you a good table. But there, nobody was saying, go to Jesus if you need like prayer. Go to Jesus if you need to go to God. They're like, if you need prayer, if you need to go to God, you got to go to John. You got to see John. And so John was the prophet. Jesus at this point was an unknown person. And Jesus comes to John, his cousin's meeting. Now this is a spiritual, I don't think I'm using the word right, but I want to use this word. It was a conundrum. It was a spiritual, something isn't right. Because Jesus shows up to be baptized by John. Now what does that say? John's ministry is a ministry of repentance. And Jesus, we know Jesus because we read about Jesus. He has no sin. He doesn't go around swindling people with terrible tables, you know? He doesn't like raise the price of tables. He doesn't like use faulty wood or anything like that. He's perfect. Jesus grew up without sin in his life, but here John is preaching a gospel or a message of repentance of sin, and Jesus comes to the meeting. Jesus' participation in John's ministry wasn't out of a need for himself. Jesus didn't need to go to John's meeting. Jesus didn't need John's baptism because he did not need repentance. There wasn't necessarily like, oh, I need, you know, a lot of times maybe for myself, and when we're operating in the flesh and just in rational, just in a rational thing, what do? We don't go to just tires to get new tires if you don't need new tires, right? That's ridiculous. Why pay that much money for something you don't need? Yeah. And so we live in a world where if we need something, we'll go somewhere. And sometimes we do that with spiritual things. Oh, I don't feel too good spiritually. I don't feel good. That's when I'll go to church, you know? If I feel pretty good spiritually, maybe I won't show up at church. Or, you know, if things are going right with your life, my life, I don't want to say you. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at the person next to you. When things are going well with my life, I'll pray more. But when things are great, maybe I won't pray as much. Maybe I won't give as much if I'm not, you know, doing well financially. Or if I am doing well financially, maybe I won't get, you know, all these things. Like, we do things out of a need basis. And you hear that all the time. You hear that with people. You hear that with church. You hear that you rationalize things. And Jesus, I don't know why I say his name like that. Jesus! And Jesus, he didn't have a need to go to John's ministry. There was no need for him to repent and participate. It wasn't out of a need. However, when we live by the Spirit, God will lead us to meetings. He'll lead us to ministries. He'll lead us to give. He'll lead us to pray. He'll lead us to Bible studies. He'll lead us to read the Word. Not because of a need I have to fill, but when we're lived by the Spirit, we do things because the Spirit compels us to do it. Not because of an attitude of what can I get out of it? Nothing? Well, then I ain't going to show up. Well, then I ain't going to give. Nah. That's the flesh speaking. Huh? You have you heard that voice? The flesh. Well, I don't need to do that. Yeah, everything's cool in my life. I don't need to stand up. But, you know, Jesus is at John's meeting, not because of an attitude of what can I get out of it? You know, what is it in for me? How's it going to fill a need in my life? No, Jesus is there not because he needs to feel clean or washed or repent. He's there because the Spirit of God compelled him to be there. And guess what? Jesus knows his calling, his destiny, his purpose. And just like John knows, Jesus knows. John, I know you're a great person, but guess what? I'm the Son of God. He knows that. But Jesus has a humble attitude, and in obedience, he goes to John's meeting and even participates in John's meeting. And when he does, John says, "What are you doing here? I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" What an amazing response. You know? Have you ever had the opportunity to pray for someone maybe that you knew was probably spiritually more mature than yourself? Or have you ever been in the position where you know the person that's going to pray for you, you're spiritually mature than them kind of thing? Or something of that nature? For Jesus, he humbly goes because the Spirit leads him and compels him, not because he needs to. John's temptation... What is John's temptation as Jesus comes to be baptized? And he knows that this is the Son of God. John's temptation is probably like, kick up his feet like, I've arrived. I must be something now. Like, God is coming to me for something. You know? God is asking me for what I can do for him kind of attitude. That is John's temptation. If you've ever been in that situation, it is a temptation of like pride, arrogance, power, and those kinds of things. You may say, oh yeah, no, I'm not tempted by power or pride or whatever. But if we ever get into that kind of position, I'm sure, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to pass that test. Should I share a story? I mean, this is... I don't even know who this person is. Okay, it's not my story. I'll be as gentle as possible. So I was at a meeting, and it was at this church. And, you know, who is that? Chris Tomlin was up worshiping, you know? You guys know who Chris Tomlin is? He's like a... worship leader, sort of like a celebrity worship leader in the church these days. It was Chris Tomlin leading worship, and it was at this church, a pretty big church, and so like their worship leader got to worship together with Chris Tomlin, And, you know, they're both there, up there together. And there was this part where they're like maybe harmonizing or something. And it was kind of weird. I was just watching the whole thing unfold. And I could kind of tell, like, in the worship leader's eyes, like, he was like, I don't know. It was just, it was weird. It was this moment of, I'm here with Chris Tomlin kind of look. It was that kind of look. And I was like, like. But then someone else said the same thing. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not the only one that saw that kind of thing. And, you know, it's just this, not that Chris Tomlin is Jesus or anything, but it's just this, I don't know, pride and power and just arrogance. It could get the best of us. And John, I'm sure there was that temptation in John's life where it's like, Jesus is here and I get to dunk Jesus in the Jordan River. I get to do this to Jesus, Son of God. But instead of being like, yes, I'm the man, I'm the prophet, I'm going to anoint and dunk Jesus, John has this humble response and attitude, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. Don't put me in this position, this situation. What a response. John passed his test. He passed the temptation of, instead of humbly being obedient to fulfill righteousness, instead of being arrogantly fulfilling righteousness, or I don't know, pridefully fulfilling righteousness, he passed the test and humbly obeyed and fulfilled righteousness. There's that test for each and every one of us. Jesus answers John, because they're cousins. Let it be so for now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. He said, okay. He said, you know what? You're the boss here. I'll do what you want me to do. All throughout John's life, and I believe all throughout Jesus' life, you will see this. A humble obedience to fulfill righteousness. That will be the theme of Jesus' life. All the way up to even his death, he will humbly obey God to fulfill righteousness. In his death, we know that Jesus struggled with that a little bit. A lot. Enough where he sweated blood. But he would, all throughout his life, have this theme of humble obedience to fulfill righteousness. Now, humble obedience to fulfill righteousness oftentimes comes at a price. For Jesus, perhaps it was not money for Jesus. Jesus didn't really, that didn't have a stronghold over his life. But it was his reputation. He put his name on the line, if you will. Getting seen, baptized by John, even today, raises the question for some people, what sin is he repenting of? It opens up the possibility of people misunderstanding him, his purpose, his calling, who he is, and that even John is greater than Jesus. It puts his reputation in question. Jesus gladly pays that price. And let me just say this. Even though there's always and most oftentimes a price to pay for humble obedience to fulfill righteousness, the price we pay for that will never outweigh what God will give back. You can never outgive God. The reward he will give in our humble obedience will never, ever outweigh the cost, the price we pay. Somebody say amen. Gosh, dang. Where? Amen. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the waters, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine that scene? I don't know if John was expecting anything. I don't know if Jesus was expecting anything. This was something that Jesus does not out of a need, but he's obeying what God's leading. John is doing this not because he wants to, because Jesus tells him to. He dunks Jesus. Jesus comes up, the heavens open, torn open, rips open. You guys are sci-fi. There's a portal that opens. You know? It's not just like, you know, it's not just like the clouds like break away. There's a rip in time and space. And this light comes down in the form of a dove. And a voice booms from heaven and says, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So if there was any doubt, any question of Jesus' reputation, that should have cleared it up.
Yeah. Amen.
It's not always like that. You know, the price we pay isn't always rewarded like that immediately. But I think it is. As soon as we obey God humbly, to fulfill righteousness, I think there's something in motion in the heavens. Just like that. For Jesus, when he humbly obeyed to fulfill righteousness, the heavens literally opened for him. The Holy Spirit descended, alighted on him like a dove, and God declared his approval over Jesus' life. In humble obedience for you and I to fulfill righteousness, the same thing I believe will happen. Now I'm not saying, so this is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, we saw Jesus do it. Now let's all go and take a trip to Israel and get baptized in the Jordan and the same thing is going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not even saying this. I'm not even saying if you come to church every Sunday, God will open up doors for you. That's not even what I'm saying. I'm not even saying if you tithe, God is going to bless your finances. That's not what I'm saying. Because oftentimes, I think when we try to fulfill righteousness, it's not out of humble obedience. It's out of guilt. It's out of manipulation. It's even out of our striving to try to get God to move. But God is not like a computer program. We can't just type in certain things and then God will give us something. He's not like a cosmic vending machine where we put in our money and out comes the Snicker bar. God is a relational being, you know. We can't say to God, hey, for Christmas, I gave you that really expensive gift. Now you have to be my girlfriend. Yeah? Ladies, have you ever had that happen to you where it's like dudes try to buy your affection and you're like, no, that's not how it works. You can't just give me all of that. Oh, Tom tried to do that too? No, just kidding. Just kidding, Tom. It's like, you can't just try to buy someone's affection, manipulate someone to like you more, to do something for you. That's not how a relationship works, right?
Right.
Yeah. But if you, you know, if you just relationally feel like, oh, this is what this person wants me to do, and if you do it, then there is a payback. There is no manipulation with God.
No, you're right.
You can't manipulate him into moving his hands, into doing those things. But God will, God will give us grace, and He will nudge us in certain ways, in certain directions. And if it's His nudging to say, Lord, I feel like You're nudging me to tithe, and then you tithe, I believe God will open up doors for you. If He nudges you to say, and God nudges you into fasting, I believe God will say, then I will open up a door for you. Nudges you into reading the Word of God instead of just other kinds of things, I believe there's power in those things. In every kinds of acts of righteousness, there's power in it, I believe, when we respond to God who leads us, instead of trying to use it to leverage God into doing something for us. It's a subtle difference. And it's important not to get it mixed up. So Jesus didn't go to the baptism and said, well, you know, everyone's being baptized and stuff and getting blessed. I'm going to go and get baptized and be blessed. That's not why He was there. He was there because I believe God led Him to be there. John was there not because he heard some other preacher preach the same thing and it worked. No, John was there because the Spirit of God led him to be. And for each and every one of us, I believe God is nudging us in some direction to fulfill righteousness. Let's all close our eyes for a second. Holy Spirit, I pray You would nudge each and every one of us. And I already know You're nudging us, Lord. I pray, Father, we would give time, just a moment of our time right now, right here at church, to be sensitive, Lord, to where You're nudging us, how You're nudging us, what it is that You want us to do. Even, Lord, for 2020, just Lord, even just a commitment for the year. Not out of guilt, not out of manipulation, not stirred by our flesh, but Holy Spirit, I pray that You would just reveal Your nudging to each and every one of us. And I pray, Father, for grace to humbly obey to fulfill righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
I pray each and every one of us will be even more sensitive to the movement of the Spirit as You align us, Lord, to Yourself with what You're doing, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would give us an alignment with what You're doing in our lives. I thank You, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, if there was a nudging, if you felt something, don't ignore it. You don't have... I do encourage you to act right away. But you know what? Go ahead and test it. Try testing it. Say, Lord, if this is from You, I'm going to test it. I think it's okay. But if you did feel a conviction and a nudging, perhaps there's grace today to fulfill those things. And God will open up doors for you. You know? And it may not be like a door of winning the lottery, a door of getting a new car, a door of being more popular, or whatever we all strive for. But it just might be that door of being happy, content, peace, love. Some of the things of the Spirit growing in our lives, maturing. He will open up these doors for you. And for some of you, I believe that it is doors of just those things that I was talking about.
It is those doors that are seen, you know, secular, but it's from the Spirit. I believe God will open up doors, not just spiritual doors, but doors that will even have your secular friends saying, what are you doing different, you know, as a testimony of what God can do in our lives. Amen. Mm-hmm. Today